Chairs No Waiting, episode number 570, Remembering Don Knotts, number 7. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the fine folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and check out the brand new items we've got. And check out the Mayberry's finest stuff. You can go to foleysmarket.com, and they'll take you directly to that section of Weavers. That's right. Foleysmarket.com is part of Weavers. You can pick up some of the Mayberry's finest coffees and bacons. But one of the new items we have right now is Aunt Bee's Mayberry Cookbook in hardback. It's brand new for the 60th anniversary year of the Andy Griffith Show. Head over to weaversdepartmentstore.com and check that out. And folks, it is so good to be here in Mayberry with you. I'm Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting. The executive producer of this episode is my wife, Jan Newsom. So thanks, Jan. She's the one that lets me do this every week. And so you get to hear this. She doesn't stop me. So, the new cookbook is in. The new cookbook is here. It's great. It's a neat hardback book. Very nice. The pages are real bright white. So all the pictures and things that are in the cookbook came out very nice. They look bright and colorful. And there's a few updates in the cookbook as well that you can read about on the website for Weavers. It tells you what they were. But Jim and Ken put out a new version of the book for the 60th anniversary of the Andy Griffith Show. Neat, neat book. So we're doing a podcast tonight about Don Knotts. So we're going to remember Don Knotts. I have done 6 previous episodes, maybe even a couple of more, but 6 that were named Remembering Don Knotts over the years. And I haven't done one since 2011. And I just thought it was time to jump back in and just remember Don for just the amazing, amazing man he was. Amazing. So as I was looking around and trying to find things that would be a good tribute to him, I found the original story I wrote, and I'm going to read a little bit of it, but I'm really going to focus mostly on stuff that was in the e-bullet. So let's go, and first we're just going to hear my story, not all of it, because you've heard some of it already on a previous podcast. So I'm going to go through it and then bring up Jim's and read Jim's account of Don Knotts. So I'm going to get a little background music for us. And I want you to stick around after it's over because we're going to hear from Randy Turner. Okay. All right. So here's my story, at least the beginning of it. Okay. So it was February 24th, 2006, when the world lost an absolutely wonderful man, Mr. Don Knotts, whose name at birth was Jesse Don Knotts. He was born on July the 21st, 1924, in Morgantown, West Virginia. He passed away at 81 years old on February the 24th, 2006. We're all sad to see Don leave us. But I don't want to dwell on remembering the day he passed so much as I want to celebrate the things he did in life and the joy he continues to bring to millions each day through the character of Barney Fife. Sure, there are other characters that he played, and he deserves credit for them all, but this is, after all, a Mayberry podcast, so let's talk about Barney. The very first time I ever got to meet Don Knotts was at Milligan College in Tennessee. It was on May the 12th, 1994, and it was in an event put on by the Elizabethton Rotary Club. The event was called An Evening with Don Knotts, and it was a night I will never forget. The thrill of seeing him in person for the first time, the show was wonderful. And afterwards, Don Knotts signed autographs for everybody that was in the room. And it was a very special evening for me, as it was for all who were present. I have a photograph of my wife, Jan, and myself standing behind Don Knotts as he was signing autographs for other folks. Yeah, I don't want to make this story about me, but in order to understand some of the things I'm going to tell you about, you need to know that, if you don't, that I've been impersonating Floyd the Barber at Mayberry events since 1994. And because of that, I've had a chance to be behind the scenes with a lot of the cast from the Andy Griffith Show at different Mayberry events. One particular evening, it stands out in my mind, was at Kingsport, Tennessee. It was on August the 6th, 1999. Now, the reason I remember it so well is because my buddy David Browning, the Mayberry deputy himself, well, he couldn't be there that night. He was always the MC at these events, but he couldn't be there. And so I had to MC that evening. Me, you know, Alan Newsom, I'm an electrical engineer from a little town in Alabama. And here I am, MC an event that starred Don Knotts, George Lindsay, and the Dillards. As you can imagine, you know, I wasn't a bit nervous. I was great with this. First time I'd ever done anything like this. Well, Don Knotts, he noticed that I was nervous. And he said this to me. He said, "Don't be nervous. If you mess up, who will notice? It's me that has to worry." And that sure did help me. And I'm thankful for Mr. Knotts saying that to me. Wow, he didn't have to do that. So at the rehearsal that evening, I mean, he was watching out for me. As I said, he saw me and he knew I was nervous. And he said that to me. Well, at the another thing that happened about that was at the rehearsal for the show, he always had a drummer. And because he did a pantomime skit where he was reacting and the drummer would have to go, ba-dum-bum-tsh, you know, make the noises. Well, normally the drummer was a high school student that plays the drum or some other person that's not a professional drummer. You know, it's just a person from the local area that they would bring in to be the drummer for Don Knotts for the evening, for that show. And boy, I thought I had pressure on me emceeing the evening. But can you imagine the nerves on this poor drummer? I mean, it's a high school student. If he missed up and didn't hit his cue when he was supposed to during the pantomime of Don's performance, the whole routine could fall apart. You almost had to be there to see the kind, caring way that Mr. Knotts would work with his partner, the drummer, his partner, and help him become comfortable with that role. He would work with him and talk to him, and he put that drummer at ease. I mean, it was something very special to see. This famous, amazing man, Don Knotts, was able to make the drummer feel just as an important part of the show as Don himself was. He also somehow took away the fear of messing up when performing with a man that the drummer would admire so much, and you know, the desire was there to make sure you did it perfect. And Don was able to just put them at ease. I saw him do this, not just this one night, but time and time again, because I got to see several rehearsals of an evening with Don Knotts' performance. And I don't know. I believe that just goes a long way to telling you the kind of man that Don Knotts was. During the Kingsport show, Don did a weatherman routine from the Steve Allen Show. You've probably seen, or hopefully you've seen it. It's a great routine. And as part of the show, he has a map that's hand-drawn. He hand-drew the United States on this big piece of paper on a map. And he wrote on it as the weatherman. He would write things on it. Well, since I was emceeing the show, I was also acting as the stagehand to some extent. So I went out after he had done the routine to move the map and the bulletin board that it was stuck to. And as I was moving it off the stage, the tape holding the map on the board, it began to become unstuck and the map started to fall off. Well, needless to say, that map fell right off into my hands and it was put into my briefcase, and it's now one of my most prized memorabilia items. Doesn't have Don's name on it or anything like that, but I know where it came from, and it's just a very special thing to me. So it was, anyway, it was pretty neat. There's more to the story that you could have heard a few weeks ago on the podcast if you go back and listen, where I told about Andy Griffith teaching us about Don Knotts. I encourage you to go listen to that. But I will finish up the story that Don may have left us in 2006, but he'll never be forgotten. And he'll never be without the love, laughter, and joy that we won't be without it. Because he continues to provide all those things to us whenever we watch him perform or remember his past performances. Wow. Thank you, Don, for everything. It was amazing. So that was something I had written down and I wanted to share with you. But there's something that's even, I think, probably better written because Jim Clark is a good writer. I'm not. So this is from the e-bullet. Okay, it's from the e-bullet from March 24th, 2006. All right. And it says, Mayberry's Sad Time by Jim Clark. So how do I even find the words to begin? The death of Don Knotts a month ago marked the passing of one of the true giants of Mayberry, show business, and our time. He was one of the all-time greats, period. Still, I don't have my thoughts fully gathered yet. You know, that's what Jim said. For me, Don Knotts created in Barney Fife the funniest character ever on television. I might as well go ahead and expand that declaration to include his being the funniest character in all of media, because there has never been a character performer who has brought me as many laughs throughout my life. I know there are millions of us out there who feel the same way, and I can personally name thousands who do, including many who are hearing these words. Because of my daily organizational involvement with Mayberry and my taking every opportunity that I could to see Don perform, I was fortunate to be around Don on several dozen occasions during the last couple of decades. I can clearly recall and recount every instance. How many people whom we have encountered that many times in our lives can we say that about? We see people every day. How do we keep up? But Don was different. Don was famously quiet and reserved person. Folks sometimes tell me that I'm a little that way too. Don and I therefore rarely had extensive conversations. If we ever decided to give each other the silent treatment, you know, the big freeze, I doubt that either one of us would have been able to notice the difference in our behavior. Actually, when I was around Don, I always felt inside more the way Barney acted when he met a legendary crook gentleman, Dan Caldwell, in Mayberry. But I tried to keep my excitement contained as much as possible. Details about Don's life and accolades about his accomplishments have been covered profusely by the media and others in the weeks since his passing. I won't repile that ground. Instead, I'll share five of my favorite personal memories about him. My first time meeting him was special to me because it was the first time. I'll skip that and describe that one because choosing just five encounters is going to be a tough one. My first time seeing Don in person while he was wearing the Mayberry uniform was on location for the filming of Return to Mayberry in Los Alamos, California in late February or in early March of 1986. Ken Beck and I had been invited as George Lindsay's guest to visit the set for a few days. This was the same occasion that I missed a chance to meet Howard Morris, which I wrote about when I was remembering times with Howard after he passed last May. Visiting the Return to Mayberry set was a dream experience for us because of our chance to visit with many of the actors, and director Bob Sweeney, writer Everett Greenbaum, and music director Earl Hagen, most of whom, including Andy Griffith, were folks that Ken and I were meeting for the first time. And there they all were, in character, in Mayberry. Seeing them all together again, seeing Don playing Barney, was a thrill that resonates in me. That unforgettable experience was 20 years ago this month. As I write this, I'm just now sadly realizing that as many of the original Tags cast and crew that we met that week have now left us as the ones who fortunately remain with us today. But the experience of that week, seeing Don and the other Andy Griffith Show favorites working in character for the first time, created incredible memories for a couple of real-life goobers. Another favorite memory about Don was a trip to Los Angeles I made with Neil Brower and Jim Balance of the Andy Griffith Show Real Watchers Club Barney chapter back in 1997. Neil's soon-to-be-published Mayberry 101 book provided our trio with a plausible reason to get together with some of the cast and crew who had been sharing their recollections about working on the Andy Griffith Show for the book. That trip had many highlights. High among them was an extensive visit with writer Harvey Bullock, a first meeting with him for all three of us. One of the largest groups of us that gathered during the trip was for a lunch at a little Italian cafe in Beverly Hills that could easily have been Morelli's. At the table that day were Howard Morris, Ronnie Schell, Everett Greenbaum, producer Aaron Rubin, and Don Knotts. Neil, Jim Balance, and I couldn't believe our good fortune to be at the same table with this group. Of course, it really didn't matter to anybody but the three of us that were there with this esteemed fivesome. And that was what made the get-together such a wonderful thing to witness. To see five of the funniest minds in the world just sitting around the table and genuinely enjoying each other's company and talking about current times and old times kept Jim, Balance, Neil, and myself in awe the entire time. One of the most distinct memories about that lunch was simply observing the natural and easy camaraderie Don had while visiting with his buddies. They were continually cracking each other up, mostly without really trying hard to do so. And they were also having some more serious discussions about what was going on in their lives, just like good friends do. It was special to watch that talented group of friends still having a ball, being around each other nearly 40 years after they first worked together. Though that lunch had been a purposeful gathering, it was still the only time that I was around Don for an occasion that didn't in some way involve work for him. Much of his public appearances and media events or performances were the things I saw. To be around him when he was just relaxing and visiting with old friends was a cherished glimpse for me and my two fellow flies on the wall that day. April Fool's Day, 1999, was another favorite time of seeing Don. He was playing Norman Thayer Jr., the Henry Fonda role, in a production of On Golden Pond in the New Theater Restaurant, the acclaimed dinner theater in Overland Park, Kansas, where he worked often during the last 15 years or so. I didn't get to exchange more than just the usual perfunctory pleasantries with Don on this occasion, but the memory I will always be grateful that I experienced was seeing Don play this part, which had a lot of pathos, not as much as the movie version with Henry Fonda, but more than just straight comedy. He was absolutely superb. In fact, 7 years later, I still believe Don's performance in that play was one of the best I've ever seen him do, besides his work on the Andy Griffith Show. And that's really saying something, because we've all seen him do many wonderful turns on the stage and screen. In that show, he truly demonstrated just how much range he could cover as a performer. The deep respect I already had for him found new depths. On that trip, I had a bout with food poisoning the day after Don's performance. Not only that, but Mary, my wife, Jim's wife, tripped and fell and spent 4 days in the hospital to complete the trip. Nonetheless, solely because of Don's performance, I still rate that trip as an overall positive. In other words, the greatness of Don's performance outweighed food poisoning, a fall, 4 days in the hospital. Of course, Mary may come to a slightly different conclusion about whether the pluses outweighed the minuses of that trip. Another favorite moment was seeing Don occurred when he received his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in January 2000. The ceremony itself was nice, with John Ritter and others speaking, Andy Griffith, Aaron Rubin, Betty Lynn, Howard Morris, Al Chico, Ronnie Schell, and other friends were on hand. The whole occasion was special, but the moment that made the day a classic was during a luncheon when Andy and Don got up on the dais together and did a short comedy routine that they used to do years ago, not as Andy and Barney, but as Andy and Don. Seeing the obvious love and respect between Don and Andy in that small performance, and the way they still enjoyed working together after all these years, was a moment to treasure. I'm at the point where I have to make my final selection of favorite moments to include in my personal recollections of Don Knotts. I think I'll go for his performance at the Mayberry Cast Reunion Show at the Opryland Gaylord Resort in Nashville in 2001. This was the second of three reunion shows that Don would do in Nashville. The others were in 1991 and in 2004. Don participated in several memorable cast reunions for live audiences elsewhere between those times and in places such as Winston-Salem, Bradford, Ohio, Pigeon Forge, Kingsport, and Birmingham. But the 2001 show was extra special because director Philip Stegner persuaded Don to recreate the scene where Barney sings in Barney and the Choir. Not only that, but Don agreed to wear Barney's original salt and pepper suit to the reenactment. He still had the suit. Yeah, Don shipped the suit to Nashville for alterations. Realizing the importance of the suit, Philip brought it by my house for show and tell and a photo op. Though Don never visited my house, I'm proud to say his salt and pepper suit has been on the premises. As neat as the suit might be just by itself, it was even more spectacular when Don wearing it. Don's show-stopping performance on the stage that weekend, or what really made the reunion show stand out in my memory. There were fantastic performances by all the stars during the reunion, but to see Don wearing that suit on stage with a full choir behind him and his then mouthing the verses, "Welcome Sweet Springtime," with the same gusto and bravado of Barney 4 decades earlier, was something that none of us there imagined we'd ever be able to see in person. That is, except maybe Betty Lynn, who'd been there the first time. That sketch, which Don also reprised at a cast reunion in Nashville in 2004, was funny just on its own merit. Many of the tour groups and accidental hotel guests who stumbled across a reunion show at the Acuff Theater surely enjoyed it just for the thoroughly entertaining experience that it was. But for the members of the audience who knew the Andy Griffith Show well, particularly for us diehards who know every move Barney ever made, seeing Don do the choir scene gave us incredibly gleeful chills. It was a historic moment for Mayberry. A big part of that feeling was probably that it brought us about as close as we could ever get to being on hand for the actual moment of being with Barney in Mayberry. A bigger part of the joy, though, was simply seeing Don nail the scene and knowing what a good sport he was to agree to perform it for us when he could easily have just deflected the request. Don's gone now. There will be no more encore performances of Welcome Sweet Springtime in that altered salt and pepper suit. But Don has left us with extraordinary memories and a legacy of work that we and generations after us will cherish. I'm forever grateful and thankful that my time on Earth overlapped with some of Don's time here. I believe we're all blessed to say that. Ah, man. Thank you, Jim. Wow, what a story. And I remember that day very well myself. So, wow, what a time it was. I remember I was dressed as Floyd the Barber in the backstage area. And when Don was going out to do that scene, I had to run all the way from the backstage area outside through a back corridor and into the back of the theater so I could see him from the very back so I could watch Don Knotts in his salt and pepper suit sing Welcome Sweet Springtime. And then I had to run back before I had to be back on stage. I had to see it though. I couldn't stay backstage. I had to run to the front. It was amazing. Don Knotts, thank you for the joy you've given us, not just on the Andy Griffith Show, but those of us fortunate enough to see some of the things that Jim talked about, and just to have been at an event where you were performing. Wow. What an amazing, amazing man. You are missed 14 years later. You're still making me smile. And it's almost bring a tear to my eye just thinking about how much fun and the chills I got that day in your salt and pepper suit, and watching you on the show, just those lines. Get out. There's so many. Nip it in the bud. There's so many lines that we have from you that we are just so, so blessed to have experienced. Ah, thank you. All right. So let's go and hear from Randy Turner with This Week in Mayberry History.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
In 1929, while Wallace Ford was starring in the Broadway play The Nut Farm, the first film in which he ever appeared was released. True, it was an uncredited bit part, but it was the beginning of a new phase of the actor's career. During the Nut Farm's run, the play in which Wallace was currently starring, the movie Married in Hollywood was released in September. Wallace had only a small part in the film, but after the Nut Farm closed on November the 16th, 1929, Wallace decided to give Hollywood a try. He first appeared in a couple of short subjects in 1930, then had his first credited role in the 1930 film Possessed, starring Clark Gable and Carol Lombard. He was one of the stars of the 1931 crime drama film X Marks the Spot, but his next role is one of his most famous. Wallace starred in the notorious and controversial film Freaks. Todd Browning, who had directed the original Dracula, starring Bela Lugosi the previous year, directed this 1932 film, which featured a large cast of people with actual disabilities playing members of a traveling carnival's freak show. Because of the subject matter, the controversial film was banned in the United Kingdom for over 30 years. The film was re-examined in the 1960s and has now been preserved by the United States Film Registry as culturally significant. Freaks was only one of six films in which Wallace appeared in 1932. Over the next 5 years, he appeared in 39 more films, often playing the lead or co-starring in B-movies, such as Night of Terror, in which he appeared with Bela Lugosi. In 1935, he appeared in the film version of The Nut Farm, the Broadway play he had starred in 6 years earlier. All through his adolescence and his adult life, Wallace had tried to locate information about his real family with no success. He had always believed himself to be an orphan since he had no memory of his parents. In 1936, while he was back in England filming a series of motion pictures, he learned through a chance conversation his mother might actually still be alive. He contacted Scotland Yard, who helped him track her down. Wallace stated he found her in humble circumstances, living in a trailer in Northwich near Manchester, England, and now married to a blind match seller called Blind Dan. Wallace met with her, and after 5 hours of conversation, was convinced she really was his mother. He took pride in being able to buy her a small house and assist her the rest of her life. In 1937, Wallace returned to Broadway to create his most famous stage character. Wallace originated the role of George in the original Broadway production of John Steinbeck's classic of Mice and Men. The play was a smash hit, running for half a year. Wallace returned to making films afterward, but did return to Broadway one last time in the short-lived drama Kindred, which opened the day after Christmas in 1939 and closed on January the 6th after just 16 performances. In 1942, Wallace became a naturalized citizen, legally changing his name to the stage name he had been using for decades. Over the course of his career, Wallace appeared in over 200 films. In 1955, he also began acting in television, appearing first in an episode of the anthology show The Whistler. Over the remaining 10 years of his career, he acted in both television and film as he transitioned into more of a character actor. He appeared in numerous other TV anthology series, including the Ford Television Theater, Damon Runyon Theater, Screen Directors Playhouse, Schlitz Playhouse, Playhouse 90, and Studio 57, to name only a few. Wallace was a commonly seen face in Western films, such as The Maverick Queen, starring Barbara Stanwyck, Thunder Over Arizona, and Stagecoach to Fury. He also appeared often in Western TV series, such as Death Valley Days, Tales of Wells Fargo, and Wide Country. Wallace even played a recurring character in one Western series, portraying Marshal Herc Lampson in 24 episodes of the Henry Fonda series, The Deputy, between 1959 and 1960. Wallace's last television role was as a guest star in the 1964 episode of The Andy Griffith Show, Aunt Bee's Romance, where he played Roger Hanover, the irritating old beau who came to visit Aunt Bee, but also, unbeknownst to her, to try to extort a little cash from Andy. Wallace's last film was the 1965 release, A Patch of Blue. Wallace and his wife had been married since 1922, shortly after they met while both performing in the Broadway show Abbey's Irish Rose. His wife passed away in February 1966. Despondent, Wallace moved into the motion picture and television country house and hospital. He died of heart failure just 4 months later and was buried in an unmarked grave in Holy Cross Cemetery in Culver City. But that's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening, and remember to take Andy's advice and go out there and act like somebody.
Thank you, Randy, for that great report. And if you didn't hear the first part, go back and check it out. You can check out all of Randy's stuff. Make sure you don't miss anything by sending him an email. Send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com. turnersgrade wallaceford@gmail.com. He did part one of that interview or of that report about Wallace Ford last week. So go back and listen to last week's episode as well. If you would like to hear the original story or the rest of the story about when I saw Don backstage there at Opryland, you can head over and listen to episode number 555 of Two Chairs No Way. It's called Andy Griffith Teaches About Don Knotts, and I tell the rest of my part of that story. I have certainly been blessed to be able to be in the presence of these amazing people. And it has been not just Don, but all the cast members from the show. It has been an amazing blessing to me to be able to do this. And I hope I never take it for granted the things that I've been able to do. All right. So hopefully some of you guys, to wrap this up, we're going to be having the Two Chairs Meetup. The Two Chairs Meetup is going to be occurring over in Florence, Alabama, coming up in just, a week or week and a half, something like that, from the time that I'm recording this. So I want to definitely make sure you know about it. So if you are planning to come, I need to get an email from you or some type of contact so that it has an email so that I can get the information to you. There is a remind thing that I've got set up as well. But we're going to be meeting up over there and visiting on Friday and going out to eat and then meeting back at the hotel around 7 p.m. that evening. And hopefully we can squat in their lobby area. They have like a sitting area we can sit in and visit and talk on Friday. We'll be able to, Chris says he'll be able to come over for a little while. He was going to try to eat with us. Chris Hudson, I'm assuming you know, at the meetup, we're getting together because the Mayberry Effect, the movie, the documentary is going to be premiering there. And we're going to be able to go to that on Saturday. So Friday, we're going to get together and visit and then go out and eat and visit. And then Saturday morning, we've got things planned. We're going to go to the Cracker Barrel, eat breakfast. Of course, I'm going to the Cracker Barrel. And then we're going to be heading over to the UNA library, the University of North Alabama Library, for a special tour of the George Lindsay collection. It's not normally open to the public, so it's a treat. It contains memorabilia donated by George to UNA, including his scripts and things. It also has items from other people like Ernest Borgnine and a number of other collections from film and stage writers and actors. So then at 2:30, we're going to get to see the Mayberry Effect. That's right. It's going to be shown there. And after that, we're going to cheer him on at the that evening at the award show and then get back together at the hotel. I've got all that information written up. If you're planning to come, please let me know. If you just want to follow along with text messages I'm going to send, because I'll be sending out little messages to people, you can let me know that too, and I'll get you fixed up, and you can follow along with us. The information is on the Facebook page. If you go to the events, there's a Two Chairs Meetup 2020 there, and I posted the information in the discussion section. So you'd have to go to the Facebook page, go down to where it says discussion and click that, and then you'll be able to see it. All the information about the event is there. So there you go. So it'll all show up under the discussion section right there. So anyway, so if that's a way you can get there if you're on Facebook. Otherwise, just let me know. I'm looking forward to seeing folks. I know we've got maybe 10 or 12 people coming, and I'm really looking forward, but I need to know you're coming so I can get you on that list so that I can let you know if there's changes to the schedule. That is all I have for you this evening. It's a long episode. I'm sorry, but Don Knotts deserves as much time as it takes, right? So I am so glad to have been able to spend some time with you here in Mayberry tonight. I would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got some memories of Don Knotts you'd like to share. I'd love to hear them. Call in at 888-684-8415. And let me know. If you can't remember that number, you can go over to Two Chairs No Waiting, and it's there on the website. You'll be able to find it under the About section, I think, under About and Contacts. It's there. So I would love to hear from you. You can email me at floyd@imayberry.com. Let me know you're coming to the Two Chairs meetup if you're coming. This is not to be confused with the Mayberry meetup that's coming up in the summer. We'll still have that. So, folks, that is what I have for you tonight. Hopefully I haven't confused you. Thank you again, Don Knotts. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time on Two Chairs. Good night, everybody.